All right, let's go ahead and get started. So first of all, just want to welcome you to this Yoga to Life teleworkshop, the alignment between yoga and coaching. I'm excited to be here with you all this morning. We had a workshop yesterday, and it was a lot of fun and a lot of participation, a lot of excitement. And I am just super excited to be here and to have the opportunity to share the parallels of coaching and yoga with you. Hopefully you'll walk away with something new that you can incorporate into your life, into your yoga practice or yoga teaching starting today. My name again is Carrie, and I am both an EYRT and a certified Yoga to Life mentor coach. I'm also the director of admissions for our Yoga to Life program. I've worked with CTA over the past couple years developing this program. Also, over the last several years, I've had the opportunity to teach yoga classes, obviously, lead over 2,200-hour teacher trainings, workshops, different wellness programs each year, and obviously been involved in Yoga to Life. I'm a mom as well, and yoga is my life. I love it. I'm really blessed to be immersed in it every day and make it my career. It's just been such an honor and such a great opportunity. So Yoga to Life, I'm very, very passionate about this program. I do believe it's a really important piece to having a well-rounded yoga business. And most important, this training really gives you the tools and the confidence and the skills to help others in their transformation process outside of the studio. One thing that we'll talk about today is what we all probably have experienced or know, and if you haven't experienced it yet and you're going to your yoga classes or you're getting on your mat, yoga brings about change. It brings about change in every aspect of life. It's a natural side effect of breath, intention, and awareness, which is yoga. And after adding coaching skills to my repertoire of skills, doors opened. And I see it all the time with the different instructors and coaches I work with through Coach Training Alliance and Yoga to Life. A whole new world of opportunity really opens up. And that's why I'm here sharing with you today info, not only about this program specifically, but more importantly about the parallels between coaching and yoga. The more people that can understand that these coaching skills can complement yoga practice or yoga teaching, the better the world. It's spread the love, right? So also on this call today joining us will be Jessica Blanche, and she is one of our Yoga to Life ambassadors. She is a certified mentor coach, obviously, through our Yoga to Life program, and she will be offering a sample coaching session live on the call. So good thing to keep in the forefront of your mind. If you're interested in being a client on today's call, you'll have that opportunity. And I actually will need someone to volunteer, so I encourage you to think about it. All you need to do to bring to the table is something that you're working through or you're working on in your life. It can be simple. It can be deep. It can be personal, it can be not. It's totally up to you. And everyone else on the call, including you, will get a chance to get a taste for what a coaching session is like. So make sure that you have out in front of you your copy of the intro of the alignment between yoga and coaching, the handout. At the top, it says, welcome to the Becoming a Coach orientation sponsored by Coach Training Alliance and Yoga to Life. The very first page, these are exercises for yourself, and it talks about settling your mind into stillness, setting your state of being. It's the emotional state you hold, how you show up energetically, and in our state directly affects our action and our intention. So the state that you set your intention in, it has a huge impact on the results that you achieve. State can either fuel action or it can halt action. It's a big, big lesson within our 12-week course. It's all about how you show up as a coach and how you hold the space. We know that in our yoga teaching, right? And how, or as a yoga student, how our instructor shows up, how do they hold the space? That makes all the difference. So there's a parallel right there. What is holding you back from aligning with your goals, your hopes, your dreams? What fills you? What brings you joy and bliss? Good things to think about if you had a chance before this call, if not after this call as well. And then setting an intention. At the beginning of each class, we always have an intention. And the intention today is to create some space. That's really what I'd like to bring to the table. And the intention I'd like to set for today's class, today's workshop, about creating space, settling into stillness and creating space. And when we create space, doors open. When we create space, we're able to shift perspectives. When we create space, all of a sudden there's a lull between stimulus and response. And in that space, we're able to choose our thoughts. We realize that we are being at choice, a state of being where we're at choice. Instead of the victim, instead of things happening to us. And that's a big part of coaching, is empowering others to learn that they have a choice, that they are the creator of their own story. You are with them as a coach, helping them to co-create. You are helping to support them, helping them to develop support systems in their life that fit. You're also there helping to hold them accountable as well. So with that said, today, our intention is to dive in to this space that I'd like us to just create collectively together. Dive into this space and see what comes up. Explore some of the parallels between yoga and coaching. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and set a clear intention around coaching and yoga to life for yourself. And then just keep that on hand. We'll come back to that towards the end. So the next page of your handout is Meet Your Yoga to Life Instructor. So, again, I am Carrie Martello. I am leading the upcoming course that starts on June 25th. Sasha Cohen, she's not with us today. She's traveling, actually, this month. But she is another one of our instructors and leads some of our Yoga to Life classes as well. And then I just realized, Jessica, you're on the line, and I'm so sorry. So we have two Yoga to Life ambassadors, and it's kind of confusing because one is Jess Dory and one is Jessica Bland. And I have the wrong picture on here, so my apologies. So Jessica Blanche is on the call with us today. Are you on there, Jess?
I'm here, hey, Carrie.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks for coming. I'm sorry that I did not update the picture. I apologize about that.
Oh, that's okay.
So we'll get you the right information after the call. But Jessica is on the call with us today from Ireland, which is very, very exciting. And she is a coach and a practicing coach, and she's also a yoga instructor, a 200-hour certified yoga instructor. She recently relocated to Ireland and is exploring opportunities out there. It's really, really exciting. She will be coaching today, so any of you that want to volunteer to be a client, she will be your coach today. She'll also give you a chance to maybe ask her any questions or connect with her. We'll get you her information after the call as well so you can see what she's up to, and she'll let you know a little bit about her experience with Yoga to Life. So let's jump right in. I always like to start with meditation or breathing exercise. Usually each class, each of the 12 weeks, we start with a certain grounding technique, grounding exercise, because state is really everything. State either fuels action or halts action. And we can model setting an optimal state of being, an optimal state of mind. We can model that to our clients. We can help them achieve that by starting each session by setting the state, so to speak. So the meditation that I chose for today, it's one of my favorites, and it goes along with our intention about creating space. And the exercise is actually the space between the breaths. Not sure if any of you are familiar with this. It is by Sally Kempton, and from her book, The Heart of Meditation. So go ahead and sit in a firm, upright, yet relaxed posture. And start to focus on your breath. Softly focus on the movement of your breath in and out. Maybe this is the first time today that you're able to really let go of all the external stimulation or get out of the mind chatter and into the present moment. And the first step to achieving that calm state of mind, really balanced state of mind, is to simply observe the breath. By observing the breath, we take a step back in the mind's eye. We let go of worrying about is something happening or worrying about trying to manipulate or control the breath, but instead just observing it. Let go of analyzing it and instead just observe it. Now follow your inhalation and let the inhalation come into the region of the heart. Feel it in the center of your chest, right beneath your sternum bone. And then let the exhalation come from that place as well. As you breathe, let the breath make a little sound as it passes through the nostrils, so nostril breathing, and a little sound as it passes out through the nostrils. It's something like a hum on the in-breath, a saw on the out-breath. In Sanskrit, hum means I, saw means that. And the sound of the breath becomes a natural mantra. Observing the breath, listening to the sound that the breath makes. Notice how when it comes to an end in the region of the heart, so you take an inhale and it comes to an end in the region of the heart, there's a tiny space of stillness, a tiny pause. Focus on the pause without trying to lengthen it, just noticing it. And then when the exhalation starts, follow the sound of the breath until it comes to an end in the space outside the heart region. Again, note the pause. Focus softly there without trying to lengthen that pause. Keep following the breath in this way, inhaling into the heart, the center of the chest. Notice the pause, space. Exhaling, following the sound of the breath until it comes into an end in the space outside. Again, noting the pause. Keep following the breath in and out. Gently focusing on the space inside and the space outside. Let the practice itself absorb your attention. No need to worry about whether or not something is happening. No need to analyze or feel frustrated if the space doesn't immediately open. The space, it opens by grace, by its own will. If you simply stay with the process, the expansion will happen. Awareness, subtle, relaxed attention on the breath, the space between. Now slowly begin to wiggle your toes and your fingers. Maybe take a couple shoulder rolls. Let's all inhale, reach your arms up overhead. Take a full body stretch. Exhale, bring your hands back to your heart. Take a full inhalation all the way to the top. Fill up the lungs completely. At the top, hold it. Take another sip of air in. Open mouth exhale. And inhale. Exhale. And gently open your eyes. They're not already open. So your state of being, the emotional state you hold, how do you show up energetically? It has a huge impact on the results you achieve. State can either fuel action or it can halt action. And the reason I picked this exercise, obviously going along with our theme for today about creating space and how yoga creates space, obviously, and in the mind and the body, and coaching really does the same thing. Coaching creates space in our life so that we can move forward in alignment and achieve what we want to achieve. The other reason I picked this exercise is because the lesson that the doorway opens, and it's called madhya in Sanskrit, it opens by grace, by its own will, when you simply stay with it, without analyzing, without judging, without shaming, without attachment, if you stay with it. And one of the things, one of the lessons you learn in coaching is as a coach, you're a guide. And when you stay with the client and you stay with the coaching process, the shifts happen. The coachable moments present themselves. The awareness happens. The space is created for your client to move forward. And it happens by simply staying with the process, by being fully present, in tune, aware. Intention and awareness are really two of the main cornerstones of coaching. Intention and awareness, very, very similar to yoga. All right, let's move into the co-creative relationships exercise. So here's where I'm going to ask everyone to please engage in this conversation. Jess, you're welcome to jump in and engage as well, if you're able to, if you'd like. So the first question, what does coaching mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of a coach? I'm going to take 1 minute right now, write down any words or phrases that pop into the forefront of your mind regarding what coaching is to you. What does it mean to you? What do you think of when you think of a coach? Ready, set, go. All right, let's move to the next question. What does yoga mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of yoga? Again, take a minute, write down any words, phrases that pop into your mind when you think of yoga. Go ahead and I'll stop you in 1 minute. Okay, go ahead and just finish up your thoughts, finish up with whatever you're writing down. And here's where I'm going to open it up into our conversation mode now. So, who would like to volunteer? Let's start with coaching. What does coaching mean to you, and what comes to mind when you think of a coach? Anyone like to share? The line is now open.
This is Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you. Great to have you on the call today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. The first word that came to my mind as coach, when I thought of coach, was motivator.
Nice. Great. Definitely. And we talk a lot about motivation, and especially when we get into the neuroscience of things and how the motivation doesn't really need to be there at first for a person, and that's kind of a misconception, right? All you need is a plan to get motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You can come up with a plan, and then we call we have a coaching term that we call reinforcing moments. And it's those baby steps that you take towards whatever your goal is. So, for example, say that my goal is to start my coaching business, or my goal is to attract more individual one-on-one clients,
mm-hmm.
or as a yoga instructor, one-on-one clients. So one reinforcing moment can be building my website, and that's a pretty big one. It can be as simple as opening up a business account, opening up your first business account, or deciding on your ideal client, deciding on your niche market. We talk a lot about our hottest undeniable benefit, and we take time to really dissect that and break that down. And all of those little exercises that you do, part of it's the homework during the course, so mm-hmm. it's nice because you'll need to do it anyway as you're developing your coaching practice, but those are called reinforcing moments. And what we learn from those reinforcing moments is that creates motivation. So I love that. Absolutely. A coach's job is to motivate by helping their client to strategize and plan the next steps on their path. And then also holding them accountable. Yeah, that's great. Anyone else have any words or phrases to share? What comes to mind when you think of a coach?
This is Val. I think of a coach as bringing out the best in somebody.
Yes, absolutely. Helping others to align with their best self. I love that you brought that up. Coaching focuses on possibility-oriented thinking. So it's less about digging up the past or going back and trying to figure out why something didn't work, but instead focusing on what does work, focusing on what is within our realm of influence instead of focusing on this happened to me, this person did that to me, what if this happens, I should do this. That's everything outside of myself, right? So coaching draws awareness inward. It's an inside-out process. It draws awareness back inward. Constantly as a coach, you're redirecting your client's focus from the external to the internal, kind of like meditation, right? Kind of like yoga, so that they realize they're at choice, that they have a choice, that they are able to shift their focus back to what they have control over, what is within their realm of influence. And when you focus on that, absolutely, you help each other kind of achieve your best self, so to speak. Anything else? I have a couple words. I've done this exercise a couple times now, and some other words that come up are mentoring, guiding, goal setting, having a vision, helping others to achieve a goal, and focusing on personal growth. One statement that somebody brought up yesterday that I loved is they said, I think of a coach as a co-traveler. Like you're traveling together along this path, and I love that. Let's move on to what does yoga mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of yoga? What I'm going to do, Val and Megan, I'm going to pick on you both since you answered that first question. So, Megan, let's start with you. What did you write down for yoga?
So I wrote down awareness and focus.
Love it. Great. And then, Val, what did you write down?
I wrote down being present, connecting inwards, and personal growth.
Great. Thank you. So we can see just from this conversation and this little exercise already, you can look over the two categories and see that there's some ideas, some concepts, maybe even words that overlap in these two categories of yoga and coaching. Life coaching, it focuses on personal growth, just like yoga does. Coaching meets you where you're at. It meets the client where they're at, just like yoga does. every person's journey is going to be a little bit different. It's going to look a little bit different, just like everybody's practice is going to look a little bit different. Where they are in their practice is a little bit different. Coaching and yoga both are about expansion and creating space and about the mind, body, heart, spirit connection, because it's about the whole. It's addressing the whole person. A lot of times clients will come to a coaching session with an agenda, and we'll talk about what an agenda is. It's basically anything that you're working on or you're working through. And what's nice about yoga instructors becoming coaches is that they understand the mind, body, heart, spirit connection, so you're able to address the whole picture. And our students, that's what's nice about coaching yogis, is that they grasp that concept as well. The yoga postures themselves become a live analogy for some of the coaching skills and the coaching concepts. So it's nice to have that common ground. Alignment is another word that comes up a lot. And when we're in alignment in our life, energy flows. Things work. We're able to navigate through change, which is inevitable, with a little bit more grace and ease. We know that yoga teaches us awareness, focus, how to be present, how to connect inward, those four things that Val stated. And that is huge. That's huge for coming into alignment in your life. It's like you're already there, and the coach is just that person to create the bridge between the tools that a student is using on their mat, the changes that a student is going through on their mat, and the changes that they're experiencing in their life. The coach is there to bridge their experience in the studio with their experience outside the studio. And then intention and awareness, definitely two huge coaching tools. And awareness, as a coach, it's being present. One of the hardest things for coaches when they first start this course, when they start practice coaching, is to let go of thinking about the questions that they're going to ask. It's more effective to stay tuned in and fully present in the moment with your client. And that's a hard concept to grasp sometimes for people. But being present, that's your state, right? And state is everything. Coaching is a shift from telling people what to do and instead co-creating a solution, planting the seeds for the student or the client to have aha moments. Aha moments, we hear that all the time. We speak of it all the time in coaching. And why are aha moments so important? Because they create ownership. People have more buy-in when they've come up with their own solution. Literally, we know that multiple areas of the brain light up. Our mind becomes more expansive when we have aha moments. It triggers the kind of growth that's going to stick and stay with us if it comes from within, if it's through the learning is done through an aha moment rather than somebody just telling us what to do. So with that said, the next question, what do coaches do? Coaches ask. You're welcome to write this down if you'd like. They ask rather than tell. It's moving away from telling someone what to do, and instead you're provoking thought through powerful questions and a conversational technique we call the simple coaching model. Coaches provoke thought rather than give directions. Coaches hold a person accountable. Coaches are accountability partners for whatever their actions that they decided to take, their clients decided to take, or whatever goals their clients have brought to the table. And then what do the clients do? The clients do the work. The clients show up and they do the work, and that directly correlates with our students, right? Or if you're not a teacher, if you're a yoga student, the teacher doesn't do the postures for you, right? The teacher is there to guide you. And how you practice, that's up to you. If you make it into class and get on your mat and you know, push yourself to your edge, that's up to you. And same with the clients. The clients do the work. Coaching meets them where they're at, and the clients do the work. They bring to the table each and every session what's called an agenda. At first, it might take a little bit time to kind of coach your client around what an agenda is and clarify that agenda. But they bring an agenda to the table. They decide on the next best steps. They decide on the timeline. And the biggest block for people is how hard it is to, it's, you really need to resist the urge to fix the client, right? And that's, coaching is the exact opposite. We're not fixing, we're not telling, and we're not giving directions. We're asking, we're provoking thought, and we're an accountability partner. We're the guide. So as you can see from this very first exercise here, there are a lot of parallels between yoga and coaching. And already within you, you have a lot of these attributes to become a Yoga to Life coach. The Coach Training Alliance Yoga to Life program helps you to hone these skills. We bring them out, we hone in on them, and we practice them in the coaching model, in the coaching conversation. We break them down each week. You learn how to listen more deeply, because that's huge. Listening skills, active listening skills is a huge coaching skill. And then you also learn to ask questions that are powerful, that are meaningful, typically open-ended questions. You learn and understand how to support your clients in achieving their goals and working towards their goals. Coaching helps us through transitions in our life. And in yoga, we know that transitions are just as important as the postures themselves. Transitions, so let's talk about that word transition really quick. Transitions, it's that space between the breaths, that very subtle, tiny little pause between the inhale and the exhale. Transitions, we tend to fly by or fly through without really noticing, because it's uncomfortable sometimes to be in stillness, to be in limbo, to be in that ambivalent place. Coaches help clients move through transition with a little bit more grace and ease, because those transitions, oftentimes the space between, there's so much opportunity there. There's so much possibility. There's so many lessons to be learned, insights to be gained in the space between. So coaches use tools to help keep their clients moving forward through those transitions and to also kind of take off the blinders and open up their mind, expand the mind into possibility-oriented thinking. These tools help clients to find their own path and their own solutions. These tools also help clients find their own alignment and their own flow. Flow is another word that we hear a lot in yoga. Flow is actually a state of mind. It's a creative state of mind. It's an expansive state of mind. It's a state of mind when we're fully immersed in whatever task at hand it is. It could be knitting. It could be running. It could be simply noticing your breath, observing your breath. That's a flow state of mind. And it's a very expansive, opportunistic state of mind. And we help our clients to achieve alignment and flow. Let's move into this next exercise, and if you've lost your place here, I'm on page 3, and it's the first numbered section, 1, think of a challenging yoga posture. So go ahead and think of a challenging yoga posture right now, something that's maybe challenged you in the past or that's challenging you currently. Write that down. And now the next question, what tools does an instructor use to raise awareness of being in the correct alignment in a posture? Or if a student is out of alignment, what tools would an instructor use to guide the class into correct alignment in that posture? Or you can even just think of what skills, what tools does an instructor use to guide their class through postures? Let's list a few. So I'm going to open it up again and ask you what tools does an instructor to use awareness of alignment in a yoga class? And we're talking about physical alignment.
So I would say the first one that comes to my mind is dialogue.
Great, dialogue. And I would say through dialogue, there has to be connection there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than speaking, I like that you said dialogue, rather than speaking at their students, they're speaking to their students, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there needs to be that connection there, whether it's through eye contact or it's through rapport that's been built over time, before and after class connecting with students.
Mm-hmm.
Really being tuned in when the teacher is instructing, instead of just, you know, at the front of the class focusing on their own practice, right? Instead, they're looking around the room and focusing on their students.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Good. Anything else?
Adjusting.
Adjusting. Great. Yes. So there's physical adjustments. There's also different ways that instructors can adjust through maybe directional cues, right, using like the front of the room or the back of the room so that the student can realize where they are out of alignment and where they need to be, where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
This is Val. Showing the students.
Showing, yes. In coaching, this would be mirroring. In yoga, usually we call it demoing a
that's
posture. Yeah, no, that's great. And like I said, in coaching, it's the same thing. You're mirroring. And the way it looks in a coaching session is sometimes it's very effective as a coach to repeat back what the client has just told you.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it's amazing to see the shifts in perspective that happen for the client when they verbalize externally and they're working through this problem, and then they hear it repeated back to them. So as a coach, you are a mirror. In our yoga practice, I don't know if anyone's heard this before, but our mat is our mirror, because how we show up and do anything is really how we do everything, as Baron Baptiste says. Our mat is our mirror. And in coaching, we show up as the guide, and yes, sometimes through mirroring, we're literally becoming a mirror so that our clients can see where they're at, so that they can see without us telling them, you are out of alignment here. We are helping them figure out where they're out of alignment and where they need to go to get into alignment. Anything else?
I mean, I think maybe just holding a posture, just so they can feel it, not moving through it so quickly.
Yes, and that's that space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the parallel to coaching, this is great, the parallel to coaching would be asking a question and then pausing.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing for that stillness and that space to be there where the client might be a little bit uncomfortable because they have to do the thinking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the yoga postures, when we're forced to hold a posture, right, or we're asked to, I shouldn't say forced, all of a sudden we have to engage. We have to engage with the breath. We have to engage in the moment. We have to engage muscularly, right? And it can be a little uncomfortable. We might be anxious to move to the next thing. Does This is all really, really good. Anything else? So one thing that I've had come up in the past is a progression map or a sequence, a flow to the class helps to really set the students up for success, right? It helps them to get into the correct alignment, or maybe starting the class with setting an intention, or starting the class with a breathing exercise, a state setter, right? Something to set their state, or a state changer, something to help change their state to a more balanced state of mind. Those things as well, and you can see how those go hand in hand with coaching. The progression map or the sequence, the parallel to that in coaching is specifically with Yoga to Life and Coach Training Alliance. We have what we teach over the 12 weeks is it's a map basically, and it's a sequence to your coaching sessions. You learn how to coach. Yes, you learn all of those coaching skills and the coaching tools. You practice them, and within the framework of this coaching model. We call it the simple coaching model, and it's literally steps to follow within your coaching session with your client. It sets you up for success. It sets your client up for success. It's literally a conversational flow. You can think of it as sequencing your yoga class towards a peak posture. The next questions that I have written there, 3 and 4, who sets the pace? It's always the student in a class, right? Yoga meets them where they're at. And then who is the guide? It's always the instructor. It's the same in coaching. The client sets the pace. The coach is the guide. So the parallels and the alignment between yoga and coaching, you can see that I left some spaces there for you. And if there's anything that pops to your mind just from that exercise and that conversation, you're welcome to jot them down there. The possibilities are endless. There's so many different parallels. We talked about setting an intention, creating space, alignment, flow, personal growth, mirroring. There's lots of different parallels. You're welcome to write those down there. Awareness is huge, and that's why in this next piece I have awareness is the first step. Why? Because you're able to let go of resistance with awareness. You're able to let go of resistance and blocks, that first space. Awareness creates the opportunity for change. Awareness creates the opportunity for change. And then awareness is the last step. Why is awareness the last step? Because awareness makes it possible to acknowledge successful change. In coaching, just as in yoga, every single step along the way matters. There's a Yoga Sutra that teaches that. Every single step along the way matters. There is no failing in yoga. Same thing in coaching. There's no failing in coaching. Your client will not fail, because every single step along the way matters. It's possibility-oriented thinking. And we have a term in coaching we call shrink the change. Change is hard for people. We know from neuroscience that we are hardwired to resist change. We resist change. That's what we do. But change is inevitable in life, right? So our job is to hold the awareness around, yeah, there's some resistance there. Now, what resistance and blocks can I let go of? And then we're able to help them move through that change by shrinking the change and taking baby steps. Those baby steps are like reinforcing moments. They build confidence, competence, and motivation. Every step is celebrated along the way. Okay, finally, the last page here, not the last page, but we're on page 4. By the end of the Yoga to Life coaching certification program, and really any kind, hopefully any kind of coaching training that you do, like I said, our intention is to spread the word about the parallels between yoga and coaching. I really do believe the more yoga instructors that have this training underneath their belt, the better, because it's all about empowering others, the better the world will be. So you can think of this as with any coaching certification, specifically, obviously, Yoga to Life. This is what I can promise you you'll walk away with. And the number one is a solid understanding of what coaching is and what it isn't and how to coach. In Yoga to Life, you'll walk away with that simple coaching model as your structure. That's your format. And then two is confidence. Specifically in Yoga to Life, I put confidence there because you have the chance to practice live coaching sessions each week on the call. We have what's called Coach the Coach sessions, where typically the last half hour of class, you're either assigned to be a coach or a client, and we rotate through everyone. That's why we keep the classes small, too. And you practice coach someone with feedback. And you practice whatever skill we're working on that week. You're also required to do practice coaching sessions outside of class. You're set up with a class buddy that you're able to practice with through Skype or phone. You'll practice with family and friends. We set you up for success for those practice coaching sessions as well so that you can build that confidence. And then the third one is the ability to coach others. Obviously, we break down that simple coaching model each week. We put tools in your tool belt. And we help you use those tools effectively, those coaching tools. Active listening skills is number four, which can help in all aspects of life. Number five, the ability to ask powerful questions. It's huge. And then number six, what you walk away from in this course is it's a coaching certification. You do walk away with a coaching certification recognized by ICF. I'd like to pause here and jump right into our Coach the Coach session. So again, this is a great way to get a taste of what coaching is all about. And Jessica Blanche is on the line, our Yoga to Life ambassador.
Hi.
Recent Yoga to Life grad. Hi, Jess. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Would you mind? Thanks for being on today, by the way.
Sure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Would you mind taking a moment and just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, and then also let us know what you got out of the program. What did you walk away with from taking Yoga
to
Life?
So my name is Jessica. I am originally from Texas. I moved to Colorado in 2010, and now I'm currently living in Dublin, Ireland. I had been doing yoga for about 7 years before I started teacher training, and it profoundly touched my life doing yoga, so I wanted to be able to share that with other people, and that's why I decided to get certified to teach. I met Carrie. She was my trainer, and at the time, I was also interested in becoming a coach, and I found, just randomly, the Yoga to Life program online, and as I scrolled down the page, I saw Carrie's picture. So it was a huge coincidence that she was also my yoga teacher trainer. So we talked about coaching, and she got me involved in the program. I started Yoga to Life in January, graduated in March, at the end of March. Absolutely loved it. It was one of the most empowering things that I have ever done with my life. The biggest thing that I learned or that I got out of the program was, you know, Carrie, you were just mentioning confidence. That was the biggest thing for me. I realized that I found my voice, and I realized that what I had to say mattered, and I could help other people by being authentically me and true to myself. So that was pretty empowering. And it gave me kind of the freedom then to realize that I could do anything with my life that I wanted to do. And so fast forward a few months and I'm living in Ireland. So that's my story in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So Jess does some online and kind of virtual coaching, and she is working on also building her coaching business as well along with that. And we're just excited to have her as an ambassador. She's going to be doing some training on leading different yoga and coaching workshops and kind of partnering up and doing some guest teaching in different studios and helping to spread the word about some of these coaching skills and how it's all about empowering people, which is great. So let's open it up. I'd love to open it up to any of you who would like to be a client. Is there anyone on the call?
I'll do it. It's Megan.
Okay, great. Awesome, Megan.
I do have to leave about 12:15, though, to drive my son somewhere.
Great. Okay, that's okay. We'll keep,
okay.
And that's perfect timing. After that, I'm going to go over some questions and answers. So, Megan, you're welcome to go back and listen. I'll send you a link, and you're welcome to go back and listen to the end of the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Okay. So, Megan, as a client, any kind of agenda that you have, so anything that you're working on, working through, or a decision that you have to make, that's what Jess is here to help you with.
Okay.
Great. So Jess and Megan, I'll let you guys go ahead. Everyone else can go ahead and mute their phone right now, unless it's quiet in the background. And then Jessica, just so you know, I'll help keep track of time so that you can be completely focused. Let's just plan on kind of wrapping it up. And actually, what I should tell everyone is that this is just a sample coaching session. So obviously, we're doing this for 15 minutes. It may not be the full. We may not get through all of the action steps and planning, for example, that comes towards the end of a coaching session, but at least you'll all be able to get a taste of what a coaching session is like. That's the purpose of this. So, no, Megan and Jess, if you feel like I have to interrupt you mid-coaching session, I apologize. It's just to provide a little taste. Okay. Go ahead and take it away, Jess.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Jess.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Is there something specific you'd like to talk about today?
Well, actually, it's actually about this, frankly, kind of figuring out if this is the right next step for me to take.
Okay.
I was certified to teach yoga. I took a 200-hour certification a year and a half ago. I completed it and have been teaching here and there ever since. And actually have been thinking about taking another training for children's yoga because I have a young daughter who really enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
I had mentioned to Carrie, actually, the first time I talked to her, the reason that this course appealed to me was thinking of another kind of little spinoff to do some coaching with families and children that live with food allergies. And we just thought, a friend of mine and I are working to try to put some programs together in line with that and use yoga and breathing exercise to help alleviate anxiety that comes with that kind of diagnosis.
That's really great. And it's funny you say that because that's why I started doing yoga, was for my anxiety. So I think that's wonderful and that can really help people.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. I mean, I know I use it in my life and with my daughter who has food allergies. So
mm-hmm.
I see it firsthand that it works, and I'm just, you know, I think the part of it, like you said, the part of it that I really need is to build my confidence because I've never done this before, and I feel, mm-hmm. I mean, I live it, but I've never done it, and can I really make a difference? Is there a business out there for this? Is there a need? Are there people that know more than me that this is not going to jive well, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So how does it make you feel when you think about being a coach?
Excited. excited, mm-hmm. And also feeling like, oh gosh, it would be so helpful.
Yeah.
And it's funny because early on, and I'm just kind of reflecting on this now, out of school 20 years ago, I worked on Wall Street, and I struggled with that constantly because I kept this gnawing feeling inside that kept saying, but I'm not doing anything to help anybody. And that always bothered me. And I just feel like this is something that's really could be impactful. I know for me, when my daughter was first diagnosed, to have someone to turn to like this would be unbelievable. And that's why I really believe in it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're really passionate about it. What do you think would happen if you didn't pursue it?
I think I would probably, you know, I think I would be disappointed in myself. I think, mm-hmm. I think eventually, just some research that I've been doing, that I would see this available at some point and be like, aha, there was a need for it. There isn't, you know, that kind of, maybe some regret.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you had some feelings of apprehension. You said that, you maybe thought someone would be able to do this better than you,
mm-hmm.
or maybe feelings of not having enough confidence to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's the biggest obstacle that you're facing in making this decision?
I feel like it's part of the obstacle. I feel like another part is, frankly, having the time to dedicate mm-hmm. to get this to the next level. Yeah, I have three kids. It's, you know, everyone's busy and crazy, but being able to really focus and concentrate and take and make this into something.
Mm-hmm. Is there someone at home that can support you in taking this on?
Well, I think I would probably have to get a little more help around the house, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, you know, works, I mean, he's gone 12 hours a day and travels a lot. So by adding this to my plate, it makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I need to kind of figure out. And I think that's part of the reason why this program, particularly, because it didn't seem that massive of an undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
It felt manageable. But I guess another reality for me is it felt manageable a month ago. And as I get closer to kids being out of school and schedule shifting and all that, and I'm like, you know, oh, goodness. On top of still trying to teach yoga and run kids around and manage a house and, you know, that sort of thing.
What are a couple things that you could think of right now that could help you free up a little bit of time when your kids get out of school?
I think, you know, maybe really trying to be a little more organized about hours that I can say commit to work or focusing on this,
mm-hmm.
Organizing my day and being a little bit stricter about those parameters around working hours, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps giving the kids a little more responsibility.
Yeah, those are great ideas. So what would you say then is the biggest thing that's keeping you from making this decision?
Well, it's funny. I think probably, you know, probably the timing thing and my time management. So just hearing myself then say it to you, it does help. Kind of, it doesn't have to seem that gigantic of an issue if I put it on paper and if I really try to organize. I mean, there are a lot of hours in the week, and I know they go fast, but.
Right. And, I mean, your kids being out of school, it actually could be an opportunity for them to help you get through this as well.
Right. Right. I never looked at it that way. Exactly.
So since I'm hearing you saying that time is actually, or time management is actually your biggest issue you're facing, because it seems like to me, tell me if I'm wrong, that you actually really want to do this.
Yes, no, you're right.
So moving forward, what is, let's just pick two things or however many things you think would be helpful. What do you think you could do in the next week to be able to make your time or to be able to have more time?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what, it's finding the time to sit down and look at a sample of my week and everything that is kind of definitely plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, plugging in strict work hours and being protective of those hours.
Mm-hmm.
But being realistic around those hours as well.
Okay. So that sounds good. Do you think that that's something you can do within the next week?
Yes, I think that would.
That out?
I mean, I think I need to do that, yes.
Okay. Would you mind if I checked in with you?
No, I would love that.
Okay. How would you like me to check in with you?
An email is great.
Okay. And does a week sound good, or how long do you need, you think?
No, I think a week is reasonable. Yeah, I think a week.
Okay.
So any longer, I'll cut it off. Any shorter, I might panic.
Right. Right. Okay, so then next Tuesday, I'll send you an email and I'll see how things are going with figuring out some space in your life. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for participating in that. I'm going to actually kind of end the coaching session by asking, Megan, before you have to get off, what was your biggest takeaway from that little coaching experience right there? Any aha moments or takeaways?
I think just having kind of almost mirror what I was saying and just re-asking me the questions that I was kind of giving answers to let me kind of just down, hear myself say the answers. So they didn't feel so outrageous and they didn't feel so abstract or far or impossible.
Great. Awesome. I was able to hear the shift in your voice, and it's really cool. One thing that we teach our coaches is to pick up on the different shifts in energy in people when they're speaking about something. And that's like a clue, right,
mm-hmm.
to maybe a coachable moment or a shift in perspective. And I could hear that, and I could hear that in your voice. I could hear the excitement when you were talking about, I want to do this. And then
right.
And then also the shift when you first talked about your time management, you know, and even sighed like, oh, summer's coming. But then you worked through it, and there was a shift in your voice like, okay, this isn't so large. There are ways that I can manage this. And then also the relief of having an accountability partner, right? And,
yeah.
And saying, yes, check in with me in a week and being able to kind of download and process the inventory of your time that you took on paper. And I would encourage you, if
if it's okay if I kind of jump into this and say, to, you know, do what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take a calendar, print out a calendar, look at it if you're a visual person, and take inventory of your time. And then where can you delegate? Where can you free up some space?
Yeah.
And make it manageable for you. Great.
Terrific.
Thanks so much for participating. You're welcome. And Jessica, thank you so much for participating as our coach.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Jess.
Great.
So I have to go.
Yeah, that's okay. Feel free to hop on, and I'll send you a link, and you can listen to the rest. We're just going to go over some questions and answers this last portion.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thanks, everyone, for listening to me.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great. So before we get into our Q&A session here, I'd like to take some time to go over, and it's on page 4, what are the personal, professional, financial benefits of becoming a Yoga to Life coach? And the personal, you can see, as you can see from that coaching session, and every time that you coach, you're actually being coached. That's how it works. It's so great. So coaching helps you move through challenges more quickly. That's a big takeaway. It also creates opportunity for change. It'll deepen your yoga practice and your yoga teaching. It's one thing I hear from instructors all the time is that their teaching goes through the roof. It just catapults them forward in their teaching. And then the last bullet point under personal is that you'll be able to help individuals progress towards the change that they want. You can use these coaching skills with your family members. I use them with my kids all the time. I swear it changed my parenting. You'll use it with your coworkers and your friends. And then professional and financial benefits. You can coach to health clubs, to different companies or nonprofit organizations. You can provide professional one-on-one coaching sessions as an extra, an additional stream of revenue. If you're teaching classes, for example, this would be another thing that you can add to your menu of services. You will acquire the skills that are really in demand to lead trainings or workshops, and also to develop different trainings and workshops of your own. Another opportunity, professional opportunity, is to become a Yoga to Life ambassador. And through that program, we set you up to lead workshops, different places, different studios. And then, I said this already, add another source of revenue stream to your income. Leverage your time. This is a big one. Leverage your time by providing group coaching sessions. Some graduates do group coaching sessions over the phone or via Skype. Some graduates do group coaching sessions in conjunction with yoga and using the postures as a live analogy. And enhance your career is the last one, because coaching skills are really in demand all over. I realize that that's a lot of information, so I'd like to just take a moment now and open up the conversation to everyone and allow for some questions that you might have. If you have a question, please say your name first. I'll also accept questions via text and email as well. The line is now open. So one question that I've had a couple come in via email earlier today, and I'll go ahead through those, and I'll ask again if any other questions come up. But the first question here, what does a typical class look like? So a typical class, I guess kind of backing up, you do receive a hard copy of a manual in the mail once you register, and there is assigned reading every week. You can expect to dedicate about an hour of your time each week to Yoga to Life, to this course, and that'll be your reading. There are some small homework assignments that we develop homework assignments that are more reinforcing moments that help you move forward in your coaching practice, developing your coaching voice and your coaching business. So they're all very useful to you. But there's not a whole lot of homework besides the assigned readings and then the practice coaching sessions. Now, the practice coaching sessions, you can, those are about 10, 15 minutes long, maybe longer, as you become more comfortable, and they focus on a certain skill each week. Those can be with family members, friends, your buddy coach from class, and you also have time after the course is done to actually complete that certification requirement. A typical class looks like this. We would break down certain coaching skills or a certain part of the coaching model. We talk about it. We practice it. We have exercises. There's a lot of interaction going on. And then typically the last part of class is that coach the coach session, where we do live coaching sessions and we actually break down the coaching session, give feedback. It's a very supportive environment. The classes are via teleconference just like this. We also have a virtual classroom that you'll have access to and you'll be able to use for resources, for chit-chatting, and information sharing and networking with other students as well. Okay, certification. Yes, you do receive a certificate upon completion. This is an ICF-recognized program. Most people take it and start their coaching business right off the bat. A lot of the work that we do, like developing your undeniable benefits statement, that's stuff that you'll use with your marketing and identifying your ideal client so that you can start to attract those ideal clients, who you want to work with, kind of taking inventory of really alignment in your coaching business. What if I have to miss a class? We understand that everyone is busy and juggling a lot, so we've tried to make this course really accessible to people. It's not a huge deal if you have to miss a class. However, what you put in is what you get out. We ask you to attend most, if not all, sessions. We know that life happens, and if something comes up, you simply notify your instructor, and you're able to listen to the class because we send a link of the recording. It's actually posted to the virtual classroom page within 24 hours after the class takes place so that you have time to go back and listen. Even if you were on the call and you missed something, you want to hear it again, you have time to go back and listen. Check out the website is another way that you can get more information. Again, yogatolife.com. Check out our Yoga to Life Facebook page. Follow us. And our Instagram account, Yoga to Life Coaching, we're running different contests and specials through our social media, through Facebook and through Instagram. So I'd love to have you follow us and just be involved in our community that way. And then how can I incorporate this in my life today, right? One takeaway. Go ahead and take a moment and write down one takeaway from today's session, one thing that you learned that you can start to incorporate into your life today. Maybe it's being aware, awareness. Maybe it's practicing active listening. Maybe it's taking that leap of faith and committing to getting your coaching certification. Great. So in ending today's call, I encourage you to commit to your best self because as we know from yoga and from coaching, when we align, doors open. Take some time to sit with your intention. Take time every day to set your state, because your state will fuel your action. It can also halt your action. If you're finding that your action is at a standstill and you're stuck, go back to your state. Find some stillness. Get really clear. Get really present. And then move forward again. Thank you all for being here today. And
Harry, before you go, I do have a quick question.
Yes.
It's Val.
Please,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm wondering how many CEUs in the course. Is it 24? I seem to remember.
Yes, it's 24
it
CEUs. Yep.
Okay.
Yes. We also have We are also Yoga Alliance recognized towards continuing education hours as well.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yes,
that's great.
I believe it's 12. I don't know why I'm questioning that right now, but I'll get that that answer to you. But for sure, it is continuing education hours approved through Yoga Alliance.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today. You have my information. Again, I'm Carrie. You can email me, Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at coachtrainingalliance.com. And if you still have more questions or you're still feeling kind of in limbo and you'd like to work through some of the feelings or the thoughts that you have, let's have a conversation. Feel free to reach out to me, and we can schedule a time to do some coaching. I'd be happy to do that. Thank you all so much today for being on the call, and I will look forward to talking with you soon again.
Thanks.
Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.